Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Football Drop Podcast. I'm with Benji.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. I'm good. We're joined by the legend, the man, the myth, the fan favourite, which I made up about three seasons ago, Ali Campbell.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
Yeah, good, good.
Excellent. Are you prepared for today?
Prepared?
Yeah. Big episode.
I didn't know you wanted to prepare. Cool. Yeah, no, it's fine. Off cuff.
No, that's not good. Luckily, Will has been nice enough to grant us an extra 42 minutes of prep time today. So, Will, we really appreciate it, bro. I don't know whether it's going to work, but if this is on YouTube, can you just explain to the viewers why you're looking so jarred off right now?
Well, luckily, there is going to be nothing put on YouTube this week because there's just no point. We're not going to get any quality from it. So we may as well just scrap this whole thing and just do audio only today.
Oh, well, we might. Genuinely. I'm holding out hope.
Genuinely, the video is of like it's just like freeze frames for me. There is literally no point.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll see how it turns out after. I'm genuinely intrigued, but yeah,
we will persevere.
We will persevere. Yes, a great word. Will, remember that word. Word of the week: persevere. Ali's obviously
persevere. Severe.
Word of the day: toilet paper. How are we, boys? I know it's Monday. It's getting on a little bit. You both all right?
Good, yeah. Good, good.
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. How has your week been?
Yeah, it's been okay, mate. It's been okay. I don't really want to talk about football, to be honest with you. Now, Ali's sitting there looking very smug after beating Preston North End 4-0. So, can't be too smug about that. However, you can only beat who's in front of you.
Why can't I?
You can only beat who's in front of you.
Exactly, which is something, and that's exactly what you didn't do.
I was about to say, something that we can't
I thought
do.
I'll get there before you.
Yeah,
I'll get there before you.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we just talk about Arsenal straight away, or do we do some news first? What do you boys want to do?
Might as well go straight into the FA Cup. We've already started. Already started really talking about it.
Okay, so Arsenal are shit.
Yes. magical
absolutely
time.
Shit. We just can't score a goal to save our life. One win in seven games. We're in a poor run of form. It normally happens around about late February, March time. Sometimes we hold out as long as April.
No, what happens is it always happens in December. We're always crap in December and we're always crap in April. Always.
I don't know, not so much December. We normally have one or two dodgy ones, but not seven.
Mate, Arteta nearly got the sack in December because our run of form was so poor. Wasn't it like November, December time where we didn't get a goal and our goal of the month was going to be, I don't know, our reserves or something like that.
Chelsea, no. Oh,
you nearly ended up being like Chelsea. Yeah, that was us in fucking April. Like August, September or something.
Yeah.
Luckily, Cole Palmer scored one. That was goal of the month.
Luckily for you guys. But yeah, I mean, the magic of the FA Cup is definitely alive, though, away from the Arsenal stuff. Maidstone, I know it's one of our little local teams. Great to see them going into the fourth round. And did you see Mick McCarthy was at the game?
Yeah.
George Ellacobi's old manager.
Yeah.
Love that.
I was listening to George Ellacobi speaking after the game, and he just kept saying, he was like, I want Wolves. I want to take my baby to the Golden Palace, is what he kept calling it. And I was just like, I kind of want you to get Wolves now, like, at Molineux, but then obviously Wolves have still got replay against Brentford. So,
of course, yeah, they do, didn't they?
There's no guarantee that even if you draw Wolves, you get them, because they might not win the replay. But then, because obviously it's one of our local teams, I kind of want them to get like a Liverpool, a City, like at City, at Liverpool, so they get like a massive day out there. Sort of thing.
It would be
because they're the lowest ranked team. They're the lowest ranked team still. So
it would be good, but it's similar to Ramsgate. Obviously, they drew. It wasn't like a big, big boy, but it was still a big enough team. I kind of want them to get like the lowest ranked team and just keep knocking off the second lowest every time and just creep up. Imagine Maidstone in the quarter final of the FA Cup. It'd be insane, wouldn't it? Because all of us would be like, we're Maidstone fans all of a sudden. We're Maidstone! Like, it's an hour away, but that's all right. I can deal with that.
It's about half hour for me, so that's fine.
Oh, mate, everywhere is less than half hour for you. Oh, Ashford, I was only 10 minutes on the road. No, it's not.
Really sorry you don't know the geography between Folkestone and Ashford. No, Ashford, didn't I tell you like 40 minutes? No, mate, I'm not 20 minutes up the... I'm not 20, 40 minutes up the road from you, so I'm closer to Ashford.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But I got to go back to your game, right?
You're choosing to. You're picking on two very sad, vulnerable, grown men right now. This is bullying.
Look, if we lost that to Preston, I can imagine that this is how exactly I'd be feeling. But
yeah, but that's different. That's you.
No, I know, but still.
Yeah, you're happy. We're not happy. So therefore, we don't need to talk about this.
But what I want to talk about is your strikers. The person who you put up front.
He's well good up
front. Kai Havertz. What kind of ego has Mikel Arteta got? Thinking he saw Kai Havertz playing up front for Chelsea. I saw Kai Havertz playing up front for Chelsea. I don't know in what world he's thought, you know what, I've got Nketiah. But I'm going to put Nketiah on the bench. Even though he's an actual striker, I'm going to put Nketiah on the bench. And I'm going to play Kai Havertz up front. Because that's a really good idea, because he's really good up front.
Yeah.
It's like when he bought him, it's like everyone thought actually he might do quite well for Arsenal. Like, taking over from that kind of like, you know, in like midfield role, maybe that pushes Ødegaard back slightly and maybe Havertz is the one playing further forward behind Jesus. But then when you put him up front yesterday, I just looked at him and I was like, well, they ain't going to score. And then lo and behold,
yeah.
First shot I think I saw him have, because I was half watching the game. The first shot I think I saw him have, he kicked the ball, it looked like onto his right foot, and it just looped up into Alisson's hands. And I was like, yeah, that's the Kai Havertz I remember. I don't remember the Kai Havertz who scored the winner in Champions League. I remember that Kai Havertz.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really to justify this.
No, but don't you think there's some kind of... I say ego, I don't know if that's the right word, but just Arteta thinking, you know what, it's fine, I don't need an actual striker.
Yeah.
But the way I look is, he looks like to me, he's trying to be too much like Pep, because obviously Pep won the league without an actual striker. Like, he had Aguero, didn't really use him. He played Sterling up the middle, Foden up the middle, like in that title winning season, just before they got Haaland, where they didn't have a striker. And he just seems like he's trying to do that, but failing. Because he doesn't have the players that Man City have. I don't know if he's realised that yet. As Arsenal fans, what's your take?
So, I have got an opinion on this.
Excellent.
And I think... partly, you are right. I think what we are struggling with is confidence, which doesn't make a lot of sense considering where we are in the table. But Jesus is a top quality striker. What he said something recently about he isn't one to score goals. He's not a striker to score goals. Right, but I think that says a lot about that confidence, because when Man City won the league with him, and he wasn't a goal scoring striker, but he still scored goals. When he signed for Arsenal, he scored goals. So you don't just stop scoring goals. So what has happened?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, coming from someone who's, shall we say, before this season, not had an actual striker for a good, I'd say, 2 years at the club. It's very, very frustrating when you've got that player keep on dropping back, and then you look in the box and you're like, there's no one in the box. Mm. Like your game against West Ham, even going back to then, back in 2023, we're sure that was, great time for you, because at that point, before that game, you're top of the league. Fourth now.
All right. I don't think there was any need for that little clarification at the end.
I've never seen that before. But
record breakers, but that's what we do.
Exactly. But when you've got no one in the box, and Jesus, like we say, Jesus is a top quality striker, but there was always the question of, if he goes to Arsenal or goes to somewhere else, will he be that 20 goal a season striker? And it seemed like at first, yes. And then obviously he got injured for a large part of last season. And then obviously he came back and he did okay. Obviously he didn't get the 20 goals, but he'd had time out. But recently, obviously, he's dropping out like of the box as well. But then you got to look at Saka's not scoring probably the amount of goals that he's scored last season, I don't think. And then Martinelli either.
No.
So there's the input that you had from everywhere else that kind of made up for the lack of goals up front. You're not getting as well, which then I think can lead on to that. But
yeah, no, you are right. I mean, Martinelli's been in dire form. He's had quite a few chances that have been reasonably in front of goal, slightly to left or right or whatever, but generally you're kind of face on and you think you should be burying them. I think his runs and creative play is still fantastic. I don't think he's lacking. It is just that final shot and the accuracy in front of goal. West Ham, I think I can't remember the actual stat, but it was the most touches in a opposition box in a game since the records began. We were all over West Ham from start to finish, but I know we said it a couple of weeks ago, but we could have scored and we could have played for another 10 hours and we were never going to score. And it was the same again against Liverpool.
Yeah.
We were bombing forward. The first half, we were incredible. We should have been 3-4-0 up. Well, 4-1, arguably, with Trent's rocket off the bar. But we were insane. Like, we genuinely played really well, but we need a striker. And as you said, Ali, it could be an ego thing. It could just be a pure arrogance. It could be just playing devil's advocate. He could just believe in his players. But everyone is seeing. Yeah, why wouldn't he?
You know, we're sitting there slagging off Arsenal because, you know, they lost to a good Fulham team. They lost to a good West Ham team. They lost to a good Liverpool team, like, who's top of the table. Yes, we had opportunities, which is great, but we've still got world-class players. You can't fault Saka. You can't fault Martinelli. You can't fault Jesus. You can't fault Rice. You know, you just can't fault these players. That anybody would want some of those, most of those players in their team. I think we are just lacking goals, and we do need a striker. Tony is the man, I think, to get us there. But he's just today committed his long-term future to Brentford because he has to pay them back.
You say long-term. 6 months, get Brentford into that top half of the table, and I think Brentford will say, thank you. Now let's go get 80 million for you. And that repays Brentford.
Yeah, but that doesn't help Arsenal now. So, okay, let's go out and get Osimhen. Oh, no, he's just signed himself a new contract with Napoli. Fantastic. So who do we go? Might come on to our conversation about strikers in a moment, but who is a top striker who is available?
No one.
There isn't one.
Genuinely isn't anyone. You're just going to have to take a punt. But what would have been great is, like, obviously, against Liverpool, for example, you know, we started with Kai Havertz up front. It would have been great if we had, like, a recognised striker on the bench that could come on, you know, play up front, played up front his whole career, and that would have been really
useful.
Called
up to the England squad, yeah, as an argument, you know.
You know, obviously, regarding, you know, for good form, and he was scoring goals, you know, early on in the season, and he had his faith when his first choice striker in his parent club was, you know, injured or wasn't firing, and he scored some goals. I mean, if we had that, that'd be brilliant. But Nketiah doesn't get a chance. And if we had another youngster who, you know, banged in 22 goals last season in the French top league, was fighting toe-to-toe with Mbappe for a golden boot, was promised he was going to play a load of games in the summer, so it'll be a backup striker, arguably better than what your backup is currently, and then you sell him. I mean, you just sell him because you don't need to. You don't need three strikers if you're pushing for the league and going for four competitions. You only need a striker who's completely injury-prone, and someone who most people don't rate, but he's got the number 14 shirt. That's the sort of thing that you need. And it's just a shame we didn't have those at Arsenal. We've never had those options, have we?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have Ben Roud as well.
Honestly.
Yeah, we have. Because we didn't, you know, Jesus isn't, I wouldn't say he's injury prone. He does get a lot of injuries, but I wouldn't say he's injury prone. I feel like you're getting on Gabby a little bit too much here. He's a world-class striker. He is a top-quality striker.
No, he's not. Hang on. No, I've got to interrupt massively here. World-class striker? Bullshit. Is he a world-class striker? He's top-level. He's not world-class. World-class is used way too much in this day and age. World-class is Messi, Ronaldo, Pele, Maradona, those sorts of players. World-class as a striker is not him. Harry Kane would probably be world-class striker at this point. Lewandowski possibly would have been in his prime a world-class striker. Gabby Jesus was nowhere near that. He's a great, solid forward, but he's not. He's even said himself he's not a fucking striker. You can't be a striker if you can't score goals. Will, me and you are strikers, mate. We're world-class. It's
so what
bollocks.
What you've done there is the classic Benji. Is you've gone, this is what I think is a world-class striker, and said that Gabby doesn't match up to it. Whereas I think Gabby is a world-class striker, but my world-class strikers aren't as high up the list as yours.
Well, yeah, I guess, but generally
so you've
speaking...
You've argued your point with your own view of what a world-class means.
Yeah, because why is everyone bullshit world-class then? If you're world-class, surely you should be at an unplayable level, is it not?
Who's everyone? Who has said that everyone is world-class?
I'm asking you, Will. What's a world-class player?
A world-class player is somebody who played for Manchester City and won the Premier League with them, right? That makes you world-class because you've won arguably the best league in the world, right? So you've won the world, you've won the best league in the world. So surely to win that, you must be world-class.
Yeah, like Gareth Barry is proper world-class, mate. 100% he is world-class.
Why wasn't Gareth Barry world-class?
He was not world-class.
Zidane's
not world class because he never won the Premier League. He never played for Man City in the Prem.
Well done, mate. Yeah, this is a really good way of arguing your point as well. Lionel Messi didn't win the Premier League either.
Yeah, so he's not world class. Now, I see your point, but I just think this day and age, compared to what players are, I know football is different, blah, 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 but world class is not Jay-Z's.
In your opinion, and
yeah,
I accept
in my
opinion,
and I think most football fans' opinions is he is not world class.
I would argue, if he comes down to Margate, five-a-side football, I reckon he would score more goals against you than anybody else.
I don't know. Nico could probably outscore him.
Maybe on current form.
Yeah. Who knows? We don't play anymore, do we? We can't fucking cancel it, basically.
No, true, yeah, true.
You got me rattled, Ali. I was fucked off about Arsenal. This is why I did not want to do the podcast last night, because I knew that I'd be like this. And you somehow got it out of me. So well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm happy now.
It just winds me up the way we're playing at the moment, because we just can't score a goal.
It is frustrating.
Chelsea scored 4 in other news.
Oh, fuck Chelsea, who cares? Actually, you scored 3, didn't they score an own goal?
Nah.
Oh, that was City's game, wasn't it?
Roger, Silva, Sterling and Enzo Fernandez.
Nice. Enzo's back, is he?
120 well spent.
Yeah. Absolute bargain, some say.
Just while we're on the FA Cup, so, obviously, you had the North East derby, didn't you? Sunderland, yes. Newcastle. Did you see what Sunderland did in the away end bar?
Yeah, it was...
It was mad.
Ooh. Yeah, where they dressed it up for Newcastle.
Yeah, what did they have? Away the lads, they had...
they had Don't Cry Peter Reed as a banner up there, which is a song they used to sing regarding Peter Reed when he was at Sunderland as manager. So it was very much an own goal by Sunderland with that.
It certainly was, and their fans were not, rightly so, were not happy about that, were they?
I mean Newcastle got an allocation of 6,000 to that game. They had the whole stand behind the goal.
Yeah.
Which if it was a league game, they'd have probably got 1,200 tickets. But they got 6,000. So I don't know whether that's just Sunderland like, we can make a killing out of this. We get a load of Newcastle fans there, we can make a killing out of this.
Yeah, it must have been.
Up the prices in the bar. We'll do up the bar nice for them. Then we'll take it down after everyone, after all the Sunderland fans start shouting at us.
And they didn't even really put up a fight in the match, did they?
No, it was. I said to Ben, I said I'm going to watch that game because I think that's going to be really, really good. But I was kind of disappointed with Sunderland. I know they're in the Championship, and obviously I know they don't have as quality players as Newcastle, but I just thought because it was a derby there would be a bit more fight. But what I would say in that game though, because it was at Sunderland, no VAR, and I've got to tell you, after watching games with VAR for what we've done, 3 seasons now, is it? 2-3 seasons VAR?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Watching a game with no VAR with just the referee's decision was amazing. The ball went in the goal, and I was like, that's a goal. It's not going to be taken away.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because
yeah.
Every time I watch like a Premier League game, I'm like, it's a goal at the moment.
Yeah, you wait, you don't know. You? Yeah, you just like,
yeah, you wait to see who's like arse hairs offside in the build-up or whatever.
Always,
and then they draw the line.
Will's arse hair is always offside.
It's always Nicholas Jackson. Fucking bastard. But yeah, no, that was, as I say, Newcastle got through that, which they needed. They needed to do that. Eddie Howe needed them to do that because they were a bad run before that. Yeah. But their next games in the league are Villa and City. So,
but you could see Newcastle going and winning them. It's just a weird season. Yeah, I genuinely can see that. It's a weird season.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Haaland to be back for City, hat trick for him, and you're facing Villa at Villa.
Yeah. Oh, Villa are a little bit questionable.
I know they beat Villa 5-1 at the start of the season, but it's definitely not the same team anymore.
No.
Which is strange today, even though it's the same players, but you know.
It is, yeah, very strange. Very strange indeed.
Hi, guys. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. How could you? Instagram is at Football Drop Podcast. Twitter is at Football Drop Pod. Thanks, Will, for that. Or just search us on Facebook, Football Drop Podcast.
Let's just talk quickly, just briefly about transfer window, because otherwise I think this could be probably one of my longest episodes ever. I know we've got quite a good bit to finish on today. Jesse Lingard, the man, the legend that he is, serial winner everywhere he goes, has offered himself to Barcelona.
Wow.
Mental. Absolutely mental. Like, in what world? I think I'm going to offer myself to Real Madrid, see if they need backup goalie for the rest of the season.
I mean, they probably do, because I mean their backup goalie's Kepa, so
yeah. Well, yeah, okay, maybe a bad example. Maybe I'll offer myself to Arsenal to go up front.
It's certainly an interesting one, isn't it? And also Timo Werner has gone to Tottenham on loan.
Yeah
which is
it's a sad another day.
It's another mad one, isn't it, of like almost desperation. But I think that goes back to who's a striker that isn't, you know, who is a striker you can rely on, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really the striker again to go and get you 20 goals a season,
but going he can be effective, can't he?
Yeah, exactly. Times. Yeah,
at times, yeah. I mean, I think okay, what I'll say about Timo Werner is the effort that he puts in is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The effort that he puts in is unbelievable. The end product of that effort is not always the one you want.
But he's a confidence player, though, isn't he? Big Ange is, I'll put my arm around you, give you a hug, it's all right, lads, we've got this. Play properly, do what I need you to do, and it'll come.
Yeah, I mean the only thing is, I say that obviously he had a fellow German managing him before that in Tuchel, but then obviously Tuchel decided he weren't good enough and thought, you know what, I'm going to get rid of a striker but not get another one, because that's the smart thing to do.
Clever, I like it.
Chelsea got form in doing that, and Antonio Conte going, you know what, Costa, don't want you. Going, okay, are you getting in, Morata? Why?
Big mistake, because everyone hated playing against Costa.
I loved Costa. He's one of those players that I think with, like, you probably, every team's got them where if they're in your team, you love them because they're just ultimate shithouse. And you know, and that's it. It's like Gabriel for you. Like, he's just I don't like him, but you love him. So
yeah, I think he's brilliant. He's a defender. He loves defending.
Yeah,
we've not had that for a long time.
But have you also heard we're going on like transfer stuff. Have you also heard that Jordan Henderson wants to come back to England, or he wants to come back to European football?
Yeah, I've heard he wants to come back to Premier League. He doesn't want to drop a level.
But also, not just him.
Like, doesn't want to drop a level.
Yeah,
we're already in that.
Yeah, fair point.
Doesn't want to drop a wage either. But also like Firmino as well.
Yeah, Firmino's
Steven Gerrard's gonna.
Who's Firmino been linked with? Someone near the bottom end of the table. I can't remember who it was now.
Bottom end?
Yeah.
I'd like Chelsea to go and get him.
I think it was Forrest or someone like that were linked with him.
Oh, that would be such a bad move for everyone else in the league.
6 month loan.
I really like Firmino. Like obviously when he was at Liverpool, he just was the provider for Mane and Salah.
Yeah.
And they obviously just scored loads and loads of goals.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean he's
He chipped in a few.
That would be a good move for Forrest. I mean, maybe not for him, I'd say. But yeah, there's a few players apparently which are considering their future in Saudi because whatever was promised to them has either not met expectation or they've not met expectation. On their part, apparently Jordan Henderson didn't realise how bad the training facilities were at our Etifak.
We should have looked at it beforehand, shouldn't they?
And also, apparently, and this is only what I heard today, was that our Etifak tried to get him to, I think, buy or improve the gym for them.
Well, hang on. They're paying 400 grand a week to him, they surely must have been able to afford to do this prior to him signing.
But it all happened so quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
It all came along. Like, one minute they're just, you know, this average, and then all of a sudden they're getting this, Al Nassr getting Ronaldo, and then the owner is then pumping all this money in. So they were not ready for it.
I don't think our Etifak are also one of the ones which are owned by the PIF as well. So
they're not, are they? No, but they are.
I think it's Al Nassr, Al Hilal, and a few others.
There's four clubs, isn't there? I think there's four clubs.
Yeah, four.
But the others have still got. They're still rich. But Steven Gerrard is probably not going to be there for too long. The performances are not good.
Yeah. This just proves, and this leads us on to kind of the news as well, really. This just proves that you could be a great player. Will may argue world-class player. I probably wouldn't know if he didn't win the league, but like Steven Gerrard.
Not as good as Lampard.
But Steven world-class players.
Better than Frank Lampard.
Oh, get God. Out.
Boys, this is going to be a debate for another show, I think. We could talk about this for hours. I'll tell you what, we'll do this at the end of the season. We'll do our ultimate, and we'll get Ali on for that, because I know Will, you and I have obviously done that before, our all-time Premier League and stuff. But doesn't...
Ali was there when we did it.
Was he?
Yeah, he did his own as well. He had the casting vote.
Yeah. I did, yeah.
Oh, he did, yeah. Yes, all right, well, we've done that, so we can't talk about it again. We'll just make it up again at the end of the season and just do another one.
Yeah. Do the second one.
Yeah, do a second one. And Ali doesn't have the casting vote. Me and Will do.
Just get the old flashlight, you know, the old Men in Black thing, and just, like, you know, just forget that, you know.
But, yeah, Gerrard, great player, shit manager. Lampard, great player, shit manager. Rooney, great player, shit manager. Got sacked by Birmingham.
I don't know how you can say this.
Well, he lost 13 games out of the 15 he managed.
Unbelievable.
That's how I can say he's a shit manager.
So Steven Gerrard won the SPL with Rangers.
Yep.
So how does that make him shit?
Stop Celtic's dominance.
He did, yeah, for that one season. Because then he went to a league that's slightly more competitive in the Premier League and got an Aston Villa team very, very low in the table. Unai Emery came in and turned that team around with very few additions at that time.
Unai Emery.
So Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard was on the right path then.
Well, no,
Steven Gerrard was on the right pathway.
Clearly not.
Yeah, because he got all the players in. He got the players in and the team there, and then Unai Emery comes and finishes it off.
Do you genuinely believe Steven Gerrard himself went, I want all of these players? Not their director of football or a sporting director or whoever. Gerrard himself said, I want these specific players.
Yeah, I don't think they've got one.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. He's had that much of an impact. He's not a top. Okay, he's not a top level manager, but he's not exactly proving himself. No, I've taken your points on, boys. I take your point on.
Before we go forward, can you just confirm what your definition of a top manager is, and then we can agree or disagree whether that fits the mould that you've set.
Oh, a top manager will be fighting for titles and cups. That's a top manager. Or turning so a team Gerrard round to be SPL. Very, very competitive.
So Steven Gerrard won the SPL with Rangers, so he's a top manager by that definition.
For that one season, yes, he was a top manager. And then he flopped at Villa, and he flopped with a team that spent millions and millions, well, hundreds of millions of pounds on players. And they're, what, ninth? No, lower than ninth in the league, I think.
Okay. So Frank Lampard, I think we could argue, is not as good as Gerrard in management or playing. So let's move on to Rooney.
Let's not go there.
Did a top quality job at Derby, did a top quality job at Dundee, DC.
Hang on, top quality job at DC?
And then was asked back by them and then moved to Birmingham, where he didn't get a transfer window to put his own players into place. He was given
a team that were bang on form, sixth in the league, absolutely flying.
And a different manager.
And got them to go and nosedive off a cliff with 13 losses out of 15.
So I don't think that's Wayne Rooney's fault, though.
Do you reckon John Eustace would have done that?
No, but... Yeah.
He was brought in to play attacking football, the football that... is it Tom Brady who owns them?
Yeah.
Is that who it is? Yeah. That Tom Brady wanted them to play. So he just went and done that and put his stuff in and then didn't even get an opportunity to bring in his own players.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they were playing, you know, top attacking football. They struggled to score goals, scored less goals than what they did at the beginning of the season with John Eustace. You're right, he didn't have time, but when you're taking a team to 20th from 6th, that kind of says that you're not quite right for that job. So you can't say
the players
top manager
that you've got aren't quite right for what you want to, how you want to play.
Let's see how Tony Mowbray does.
Come back
to Birmingham.
That was a weird appointment, I thought.
I mean, it was a weird sacking because he got sacked by Sunderland, and Sunderland were near the playoff places, and it was like, well, why has he been sacked? But then again, I assume that's something to do with, I don't think he really got on with the owner, so.
And he's also, Tony Mowbray isn't renowned for playing attacking football either, is he? That was a big surprise to go from Rooney to that, when you set out your clear target.
Rooney was brought in as the Hollywood signing, you know, for Birmingham, because that's what they wanted. New ownership, they were like, right, let's get a big name in, get some more people in, get some more, eyes on Birmingham City. Unfortunately, people looked and then quickly turned away. So, I mean, I feel for Wayne Rooney a little bit because it's not his fault that Birmingham decided, oh yeah, we're going to take out someone who was doing really well and then put him in place, and then he's trying to get his football across, and it's not really working. Obviously, yeah, they did drop down to, you know, near the relegation places, which obviously is not where they want to be. But from a fan of a club that enjoys chopping and changing of managers, I can tell you, especially over the last 3 years, it's not the way to go.
It's not the way to go.
You do need some kind of consistency. But yeah, I mean, and obviously, as we all know, Frank Lampard was much better playing than Steven Gerrard. But anyway, on to the next subject.
What is it? Kylian Mbappe? And where's he going?
Yeah, that's a big thing, isn't it? That is a big thing at the moment.
Well, there's somebody, I don't know whether he's a reporter or something, but someone who breaks news stories on, like, you know, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We're saying, like, the basically Mbappe's Madrid's done.
But they say this every season.
This is an exclusive. This is an exclusive, you know, Mbappe to Madrid's done and everything else. And then, like, Fabrizio Romano come out, who I take as, like, if he says it, it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually that is the case. Usually that is the case. And basically, he spoke to someone from Mbappe's camp and they went, we haven't signed anything. We haven't signed anything yet. So,
yeah,
you know, we don't know where this story's come from. So it's like, I saw someone put up there, so who's telling the truth? Is it Fabrizio Romano or is it this other guy, Santi JM or whatever his name is? I don't know, but
obviously it's our man Fabrizio.
Exactly. And if he's wrong, then, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do with my transfer news anymore.
If he's wrong, he's allowed a mistake. He's allowed to get one wrong.
If he's wrong, you know, he's allowed to be wrong once. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah.
Will, there was a couple of bits that you wanted to talk about that you put in our group chat earlier. Something about Maidstone United and something about shortness.
Yeah. So obviously Maidstone United... it won in the FA Cup. We've probably gone past that now. But yeah, well done, Maidstone United. Beat Stevenage.
1-0.
Yeah, and who did they beat before Stevenage? Was it Crawley?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so well done then. And then we were talking about Eric Dier, wasn't we? Leaving for Bayern Munich. And if, you know, with that, his feet barely touched the ground, which led to the question of Ali, when you sit at your computer, do your feet touch the ground?
I can confirm that my feet touched the ground. Thank you very much.
What about when your seat's all the way up?
That's a trick. Well, not a trick question, but it doesn't matter for me because my seat is broken and doesn't stay up. A bit like Ben's, as I've come to know, where your seat just goes down.
Yeah, it does happen every now and then. That was probably the worst way to relate to a joke about someone on the podcast I've ever heard. But I've literally got tears in my eyes, so thank you very much for that.
As soon as you said shortness, I made a face, and then all I saw was Ben smile, and I was like, "This is coming back to me."
Oh dear! You know, we've done this podcast so like super super backwards, but I want to talk about Will's week last week because Will's got a really funny story to share about a specific incident, an experience. Do you want to share all, Will?
What was? Can you just give us a little hint?
It's regarding football and meeting people, and the build up to that prior to the meeting.
Right. Was this when I went to McDonald's?
Yes, that's the story. I can read my notes to you if you want.
No, I think I can remember. So I was lucky enough to be invited in for an interview for a non-executive director role. And I needed to do like, do bits and bobs before. So I went to McDonald's, fired up my laptop and was just sort of doing some bits and that and there. You know, when you're in McDonald's, you know, Rome wasn't built overnight. When in Rome, you have a McDonald's, don't you?
A double soirge
was on order, so I had that, and then I'm out, and then I drove to my interview, and I'm fit, and my stomach is feeling a little bit dicky. So I'm getting a bit nervous. The double soirge has gone. I need to get out of your body immediately. So what do you do in that situation? You suck it up. You suck it up.
To be fair, nobody wants to be that guy in the interview that has to just let it go. If it's messy one or whatever it may be, everyone knows you as that guy.
As well, as soon as I walked through the door, the toilet was right in front of me. And I'm like... oh, but I've rung on the bell to get in, so they know I'm there, so I can't just disappear. So, and then when I went for the interview, I then walked past the toilet again. And then when I came out, I walked past it for a third time and I still didn't have the bottle. So. And then I had a really busy afternoon. So that must have been about 10 o'clock. I didn't get to the toilet till 6.
Oh, my God. That was worth
Can I just say, my notes about this was big poo, full belly, very early, watching the interviewer at the printer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were at the printer in front of my car. So I was just sort of watching them. Hoping that they didn't start looking at me. Yeah.
Oh, God.
This is the best interview I've ever had in my life.
It went quite well. Yes. He has, isn't he?
Know that.
He loves a new job.
Yeah. Oh, get through probation. See you later.
I've been on both sides of it quite a few times as well. Fucking hell.
Sometimes he doesn't even make probation.
Exactly.
Oh. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, guys. Please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com with your comments, feedback, any funny stories you'd like us to share on the pod. We want to hear it. We love the feedback. We love the comments. We want to share it. I mean, we probably won't even remember to share it. We'll probably forget. But email us anyway, footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com.
So, shall I kick us off then with the top strikers?
Yes, let's go for it. Let's go for it.
Let's kick us off. So the task was, Ben, that you set us that we had to think of the top 10 strikers in the Premier League?
In the Premier League this season so far, yeah.
This season so far. Now, it was quite a tough one because I'm not sure if there are 10 strikers in the Premier League at the moment.
No. And Joe, I thought exactly the same when I was looking. So before we actually go into it, do we want to say that sort of like attacking midfielders are part of this, or are we just saying out and out, like are we saying goal scorers or forwards?
Number nines.
Mo Salah would be up there as...
No.
No?
No. He's not number nine.
Okay.
I've done out and out strikers.
Cool. Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to clarify. That's fine. Go on then, Will. Take us off. Who have we got? In no particular order. We can sort the orders after.
Well, okay. But we can safely say Erling Haaland is number one, right?
What? So far this season?
Who's better than Haaland so far this season?
Yeah, no one.
Let's go second, Nunes. Darwin.
Shut up.
Jesus. Holy fuck.
You're saying Nunes is second?
Who's better than Nunes?
Solanke.
Watkins.
Ollie Watkins.
Solanke.
Great shout. Yeah.
Alexander Isak.
I was reading my notes. Isak. Even, arguably, Nicholas Jackson.
No.
He scored more than what Darwin has.
No. He's more of a threat.
Darwin is... I think you would be more effective in the box than Darwin.
You know. Okay. All right. I'll give it that he's not top.
We'll put Nunes in there. I agree. Yeah, Nunes is probably in there or thereabouts, but definitely not second, mate. I'm sorry.
It's all right. What about Ollie Watkins as second?
I wouldn't say second. I would say third. In my
tell you
my
what,
opinion.
You got a problem with this second place, didn't you?
Well, who's second then?
I'll tell you what, why don't you let Will do his list, right?
Okay, and yeah, then go you on. Can, okay, then yeah.
No.
It's nice, a nice debate, but no, that's a good idea. Now, go on, we'll go through your names, and we'll see if we've got them as well.
No. We've agreed to do it as a collective. Who's second? Tell me who's second.
For me, right now...
Alvarez.
Oh, okay. I was going to say right now, Solanke.
But Alvarez is a difficult one. I didn't even bring him into it because he is. You could argue he's a nine, but he does sometimes play as a 10, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he is more traditionally a striker. Yeah.
He is a striker, but
he just has to play as a 10 because they've got the world's best striker there.
Yeah. All right. I'll go for Alvarez as second then. Ollie Watkins as third. There's no way Solanke's better than Ollie Watkins this season.
So far. I mean, you've got to bear in mind, it's been a great... So, Solanke's on 12 goals. Ollie Watkins is on 9. And arguably, Ollie Watkins plays in a better team who create more.
To be honest, though, for me, I would say that Isak's actually third.
Isak's back on 9 goals. Okay. Yeah.
So Isak over Solanke. I'd go Watkins, Solanke, and then Isak.
You got to remember though, Isak's also been injured. He's on 9 goals.
Yeah.
True.
He's had a few games out.
But he did have a field day against Sheffield though, didn't he? Was that him?
I think Newcastle had a field day against Sheffield United. I think it was only Nick Pope that didn't really look threatening to score.
Okay, so we've got. So, who are we saying second? Have you got anyone else to add into that list, Will?
So it's Haaland, Alvarez.
Yeah, that's your top two.
Isak,
yeah.
Solanke, Watkins.
Solanke, Watkins, yeah.
See, now is where I'd start thinking about Darwin Nunes.
I agree.
Because I do think he's played well. Obviously, he's not scored the goals, but he has like, you know, linked up play and actually set Salah up a few times.
Okay, so Nunes. Where are we at? How many are we at?
So Nunes is 6 for you.
No, this isn't my list. This is our list.
It's a collective.
Okay.
I don't know why you keep trying to do that.
I just disagree with Alvarez being second, but okay. I don't think he's been as good as anyone else this season.
You just have to get over it, mate. The majority has reigned over you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This is why he brought me on the podcast, so rein you in a bit.
Yeah, fair enough. Nunes at 6.
7.
See, for me... And this is hard because no one really knows his set position. But Cole Palmer is arguably a 9/10.
Well, I would argue that he's definitely 100% a 10.
I would say the only game that he's actually played up front was against you.
Fair enough. Okay.
You got to look at the names we've got. So we've got people like, say, João Pedro.
Is Callum he an out-and-out out striker? Or is Pedro, does he come in from the wing?
I think João Pedro's out-and-out striker.
Oh, okay.
I mean, to me, he is, anyway. He played up front when he played against Chelsea and he scored. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, everyone scores against us, I know, but still.
João Pedro, yeah, he's listed as... Attacking midfielder, centre left, and forward.
Yeah.
Pedro is 7th?
Nah, I wouldn't say 7th yet.
No.
I'm just throwing names out there. Yeah.
Mbeumo was doing well.
I was just about to say Mbeumo. Mbeumo is a good shout. And as much as it pains me to say, I think Jackson could creep in the top 10 here.
What about Quang Hee Chang?
For me,
great chap.
I don't think he's a forward. He plays a lot from the left.
Yeah, I know. But
it's like Salah. Like, you know, he's a forward. He's always going to be there, but he cuts in a lot. He's not necessarily a centre forward striker.
That's who's their striker?
They don't really have one because they've always been injured.
I mean, that's the thing. They play like it's like they play an even more inverted version of Liverpool.
Like, yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Even more inverted. I don't know if you could have got any more inverted than Salah and Mane, but somehow they have. And it's Chan and, like, Sarabia, or, you know, behind.
Because I would have argued that Chan was a striker. But when Ben said he does normally play out on the wings, so I don't know if we can count that. I think if we don't count Salah, we don't count him.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm up for that. I genuinely think Mbeumo's in there then.
What about Danny Welbeck?
See, that's the thing. I
didn't realise this is 2012.
I would say the same about Mbeumo with Chan. Like, again, he cuts in a lot from left.
Does he? I always thought he was more of a forward.
So Brentford play with the two up front, don't they? So they play like a 4-4-2. So he's always going to be on a wing.
All I know is when he played against us, he was everywhere. So I couldn't really get away from him.
I would class Mbeumo more as a striker than anything else.
He's out till March now, so.
Okay, so we'll keep Mbeumo to size. We don't quite know where we're going to put him.
No, I'm, if you want to put Mbeumo in, I'm happy to put Mbeumo in if you want.
Yeah, it's just where we put him, which needs what we got. 1, 2, 3. We're only at 6, well, 7 including Mbeumo. Callum Wilson.
I think.
Does he make top 10? He's scored 7 goals this season.
I think he makes top 10, but it's just the fact he's injury prone. That's the problem.
I agree with that. I think he's in the top 10 just for this season. I think he's still delivering.
Okay, so I'll throw a name out there. Jarrod Bowen.
No, he's a winger.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's been playing up front since Antonio's gone.
But he's always come out and said, I like cutting in from the right.
Yeah, he's always said that.
Yeah.
He has said that, but he hasn't played that.
No, he has been playing up front.
Okay, personally, I wouldn't count
it. You've had Paqueta and Kudus on the wings, but then Paqueta cuts in the middle, so they don't really have anyone on the left. They just have Emerson bombing up the left-hand side. I mean, you must have saw that, you know, against...
I didn't see them bomb forward much, mate. They just came forward twice, scored two, and then sat up and just chilled.
So that there is what you call efficiency.
Yeah, mate, I can't take it away from them. But that's not what we're talking about right now, that is there.
All right.
I wouldn't count him, but it's down to you boys. If you count him as a striker, he definitely is in there for this season.
I think for this season, he has played as a striker.
Yeah, more often than
not. But he's not a striker.
No, but they're very fluid with their system. So,
look, simple, yes or no?
Yes, put him in.
Is he a striker in this instance?
Yes, for me, yes.
What are you saying?
I'm saying no.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna say no.
Ooh. Oh, it's not often we agree. So João Pedro, we're not counting either, are we?
Well, we're not counting João Pedro.
Are we? I thought we said we're not counting.
No, we were counting.
Okay, so we need one more. Chan. We need one more then. So I'll Dominic throw a couple Calvin of names. No, oh, shut no. up. He scores up 2 goals a season. No, so you got a couple of names here. You got Chris Wood, Nicholas Jackson,
no.
Evan Ferguson,
ooh, Leon. That's a good one.
Leon Bailey.
Nah, he's not a nine.
Played more up front recently, alongside.
Nah, he's on the wing. He's on the right wing.
And then you're scraping the barrel here, but you've got Richarlison, Odson Edouard,
I thought of Edward.
And then Eddie and Ketia back on 5 goals. I don't think Ketia is there.
I think you got to put Jackson in, if this is the case.
Okay, you think Jackson. Will?
I know Will's dead against it, but...
Any arguments?
In the top 10, I'd rather Gabby Jesus was in the top 10 than Nicholas Jackson.
Well, he is world class, isn't he? So it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? I even forgot you had a striker. I'm happy to put Jesus in there. I mean, Arteta forgot you had a striker.
We've got to bear in mind this season, not generally, this season.
Right.
Jesus has done nothing. I think he scored 3 goals. Jackson scored 7. Albeit he scored 6 with his bum hair and stuff like that, but...
No, he hasn't. They've been disallowed because of his bum hair.
If he trimmed his bum hair, he would have been on about 18 goals, I think, this season.
I know, exactly. If he just
I'm going to say Jackson gets in. So it's 2-1 there, Will. Sorry.
Yes.
So we need to place the bottom 4 now. We've got Haaland first, Alvarez second, Isak third, Solanke 4th, Ollie Watkins 5, Darwin Nunez 6, and then we've got Mbeumo, Wilson, Pedro and Jackson. Where are we placing them? Hang on, why did you look so confused, Will?
Because I was just thinking, like, I was thinking Wilson, who was the other two? Wilson,
Mbeumo,
Pedro,
Wilson, Mbeumo, Nicholas Jackson.
Wilson and Mbeumo, Pedro, yeah. Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after we all agree, yay.
Wilson and Mbeumo, Pedro and Jackson. There is our top 10, lads.
Fantastic.
Any final amendments? I can't believe
I would say is these are not the best strikers. These are not the best strikers in the league. These are the best strikers this season.
This season, yeah.
I also wonder, by the end of the season, whether we'd have Højlund in the top 10.
Depends. If Ten Hag gets sacked,
one goal.
Yeah, but if Ten Hag gets sacked and they actually start playing proper football and they play with
wingers
or inside forwards who do pass a little bit more, different story.
But that'll involve them going in the transfer market if they want to get new forwards.
No, they've got Pellistri and Garnacho. They do pass a little bit more. Tell them to pass.
Garnacho runs with his head down. I don't think he's ever looked up in his life. If there was a lamppost, he'd run into it.
He's going to run into Nathan Ake.
Okay.
He probably would.
Love it.
Ali's got a little love affair with lampposts.
He does.
I don't know what's going on here.
I don't have any sort of love affair with lampposts. I'm just scarred by that fucking player. I'm never making that prediction again. Nathan Ake's best defender in the league. He's top of the list of defenders.
Well, we'll talk about defenders next week, boys. Do we split it to do top 10 centre backs and top 10 fullbacks? Or do you just do five and five? 5 centre backs, 5 fullbacks?
I don't think you can have them in the same. I'd split them. Because the fullback is a totally different position to how it was anyway. It's not really about defending now, is it?
Yeah. So we do top 5 for each then.
Especially if you're Spurs. Like, do you count their right back, left back as central midfielders?
Yeah, arguably, yeah. Okay, so 5 centre-backs, 5 full-backs next week, boys.
Okay, thanks, Boris.
Wicked. That was probably a very disjointed episode, so guys, if you're listening, sorry. But yeah.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, we've had technical issues throughout. We've had all sorts, and poor Ali's the only person that sat here through it all. So well done, Ali. Congratulations.
I am the one constant. This episode, anyway.
Yeah, something like that. Cheers, guys. Catch you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please give us 5 stars on your podcast provider, whatever one that may be, and help us hashtag drop the pod.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.